Worship you, Lord. We praise your name this day, this morning, God. We thank you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus. You have not changed. Lord, your word is true. Your power is real. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the blood you shed on the cross, your resurrection from the dead, that you paid the price for our sins. You paid to deal with sickness. You paid that price, Lord, to deal and break the power of Satan. Now, we are just thankful, Lord. You broke the power of death. And through Jesus, we can have life, healing, forgiveness of sins, deliverance. God, we thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to bless your people here today at Fire and Grace Church. I ask you to bless those watching and worshiping with us, Lord, on Facebook and YouTube. And Lord, we ask you to touch people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. We welcome everyone again, Fire and Grace Church this morning. Praise be to God. I know the Lord is just doing some amazing things. You know, I want to share this, and of course, I know I shared it with everyone here before the service, but now we're live on Facebook and YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, and I just want to share, you know, last week I had one message planned, and the Lord told me that wasn't going to happen as I got prepared for the service, and then I thought it was going to be something else, and then I came in here and started worshiping the Lord, and, you know, sometimes you just got to be got to be ready to let the Lord lead you. And the Holy Spirit during worship time, as I was worshiping the Lord, just gave me a word about healing. And the presence of God just came in here. And I just want to share that I have had testimonies from people watching saying the presence of God was touching them. They were in tears through the whole service. We've had tremendous testimonies already. And Patrick, if you don't mind, I want you to come up here and just share real quick about yours, because I think it's important that people hear it. Can we get this mic on right here? Is it on? Patrick came last week. He came up because he had a hernia he'd already been to the doctor for, and I'll let you tell the rest. So go ahead.
Okay. About 4 weeks ago, the whole family got sick, and I came down with, it was just a tremendous, horrible coughing. And I noticed that I had a lot of pain in the groin area during coughing. And the only way I could get the pain to ease was stand with my legs spread during the coughing. So we ended up going to the doctor. I had found that when I put my hand down there, it was bulging out like a balloon when I'd cough. Went to the doctor. Had the doctor check. She did it, made me cough, turn my head and doing all the coughing. And she's like, yes, you've got a hernia. Explained to me that during this, with the process of it, that my intestines could potentially protrude out, get caught in and twist up, which could stop me, or I guess you'd say block from the natural bowel movements and things like that, which I guess at that time they could tear, and everybody knows or should know that the toxicity of bowel movements in your system can kill you pretty quickly. So we had a general surgeon appointment for tomorrow to see about surgery and fixing the lower abdomen wall. Ding had a prayer service last week, called me up, pointed me out, actually. He's like, anybody else? I know you need to come. So he laid hands on me, and I am a avid believer in laying on of hands and healing. Had it happen to me instantaneously when I was younger in a car accident, believe in it, no doubts. This week, noticed I have some residuals of the coughing still left, no bulging, no pain, nothing. I believe it 100%. God healed me. I canceled the doctor's appointment. No need to pay the money.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mic's going, so I turn it on. All right, but anyway, so people have asked about Toby, the little autistic boy, and we haven't heard from them, but I told them, the Lord gave me a word when they were up here, said it's not about, I said, the Lord didn't tell me how much time. I said it could be tomorrow, it could be a week, it could be a month. I have no idea, but I believe it's done. And see, that's the thing about faith. Faith believes that it's done before we see the results of it. That's just Bible. You know, it's not word of faith, it's not Kenneth Hagin, it's Bible, okay? So we believe it before we see it, and I'm absolutely convinced it's done because the presence of God came in here, and God spoke it, and I know he spoke it, so it's done. There's no doubt in my heart. So let's get into the Word this morning. Goodness, so much to do, so much to cover. We're going to start out this morning. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Of course, I've called this service just this ordination service. It's been a while. I've been a part of different ordination services over the years in different denominations. I've been involved in them: Pentecostal, Baptist, non-denominational. I mean, I've been around the block a time or two with this stuff. But as we get ready to prepare to launch another church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and just be an oversight for Ted and Noel as they launch out into this new realm. I just feel it's important that, because I can tell there is a shift, and I'm going to share this. And I didn't have time. I thought about it this morning early about trying to dig up the audio, but I'm like, I'm just not going to put that on poor Kevin this morning. So I said, we won't try to dig up the audio from 2009. But I shared this on Facebook a few weeks ago, I guess. When did Billy Graham pass away? Was that a week ago or 2 weeks ago? I'm losing track of time. So much stuff's going on. But anyway, in 2009, some of you may have seen the post, but I know a lot didn't see it, so I'm going to share this. Let me back up. In 1995, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Pensacola, Florida, the Brownsville Revival. And the pastor of the church at the time of Brownsville Assembly of God was John Kilpatrick. And he had been pastor there about 14 years before the revival broke out. And then an evangelist came by the name of Steve Hill, whom I'd heard preach before, long before he ever went to Brownsville. I'd been in his services. I'd read his testimony. Amazing testimony. He was an Alabama boy. He's from Huntsville area. Big time drug addict, drug dealer, drug addict, in and out of prison, escaped from prison a couple of times. I knew the judge that handled his case. I was friends with the judge that handled his case. It was so funny to hear the judge talk about, yeah, I remember Steve Hill coming into my courtroom again and again and again. And I'm going to tell you, the only reason that Steve Hill didn't stay in prison the rest of his life was because of my friend. Well, you know Judge Thomas. He was a circuit court judge. I'm sure now he's finally retired, but he was a Christian man, loved the Lord, and he just had mercy on Steve Hill and allowed him to go to the David Wilkerson Teen Challenge up in North Alabama. And of course, Steve Hill got right with God. I mean, he got on fire for Jesus. He went to David Wilkerson School and was friends with Leonard Ravenhill and Keith Green, and Steve Hill was mentored by, really, to me, some of the best of the best in our generation. And anyway, long story short, Steve Hill became a missionary, went through Spanish, learned to speak Spanish fluently, then went to Argentina. And Steve Hill got to be part of the Argentine revival that was happening in the 80s. So anyway, long story short, revival breaks out. Now, I know there's been a lot of criticism of the Brownsville revival, but there's a lot of criticism by a lot of people who weren't there. I was there. I was there night after night, day after day. Sometimes I would spend an entire week there and only come home to preach on Sunday morning at the church I started in Montgomery. So I was at the altar. I was working as a pastor. I was counseling at the altar calls. I saw people get saved from every walk of life every single night. I saw people people had fallen away from God, prodigals come home. I saw just amazing stuff. It was just one of the most powerful revivals. If anybody say that Steve Hill did not preach the gospel and the cross and repentance, they're just lying to you. Now, in every revival, is it perfect? No. Things get a little messy sometimes, and men are fallible, you know? And that's another thing I'm going to talk about today. There are no perfect men or women for ministry. God has to take very imperfect people like me, Ted, Noel, anybody else, Paul, Kevin, has to take imperfect people and use us anyway. I mean, if you look at the apostles, very imperfect men, you know, had issues with pride, had issues with doubt, had issues with fear. You know, I mean, they were just real people, you know. That's all, you know. There's no, that's why, it's tough a lot of times in the church world to understand that, you know, respect for leadership, but then not putting leaders on a pedestal. It's kind of a difficult situation sometimes. And then we got the other extreme where people just reject all leadership and say the church shouldn't even have leaders. That's about as crazy a thing as I've ever heard, not biblical, but there's a lot of people out there that want leaderless churches, but that's just not the way it's done. There is church government. Now, I'm saying all this to say, we go back 2009, the revival in Brownsville ended, to me, it ended about 2001. I think they limped along and tried to make it continue till 2003, and that was a mistake. But John Kilpatrick left, traveled for a while, preached, and then he started a church in Daphne, Alabama. Now, I'm going to say this at the outset. I don't agree with everything that John Kilpatrick preaches. He's getting mixed up with some charismaniacs that I would not be mixed up with at all now. So I don't, you know, I don't agree with some of the things. But I'm going to tell you, he's still a man of God, and God still used him. And he's been in the ministry for over 40 years. So he's got a lot of wisdom. And he's prayed for me on a number of occasions and whispered in my ear a word from the Lord that was exactly dead on. So again, you don't have to agree with the man perfectly. You don't have to, the man doesn't have to be perfect. God can still use that man. You respect that authority on him. I still have great respect for Pastor John Kilpatrick, even though there's some strong disagreements right now. But in 2009, we went to a pastor's mentoring dinner in Pensacola, well, not Pensacola, but in Daphne Civic Center. And Pastor John, it was pastors and their wives only. And he had some Louisiana folks come up and do a nice shrimp boil for us, man. It was good, right? And but that night he started preaching on, there was, and really it was a prophetic message. And immediately as he started talking, the Holy Spirit came on me and said, this is a word. You better pay attention to this. And he started talking about how there was going to be a shift in the body of Christ from the church trying to run as a democracy to the church figuring out that it was time to do church government biblically and the way it's supposed to be done. You see, and when I say democratically, listen, when you have churches that vote on who their pastor is going to be, when you have churches that have boards, and I call most of them demon boards instead of deacon boards because I've dealt with those things. When you have a system set up where voting or boards decide what's going on, that might work in the world. That might work in government. It might work in the corporate world, but that's not the way the church is supposed to operate. God calls fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Then those that God calls are recognized by other fivefold ministers. And that really, that's what ordination is. It's a recognition of other men who have been in the ministry to say, yes, God's saying, you are called, you are anointed, and I bless you and I acknowledge that, and that's what it's about. And it's about that issue of humility. It's about that issue of submission to authority, being submitted to one another. And it's about that issue, too, of bringing connection, and it makes us stronger. And that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to work. And so God calls these fivefold leaders. They recognize and ordain other fivefold leaders. Pastors then choose their elders and deacons, not the elders and deacons choosing their pastor. See, it's just all been reversed, right? It's all been backwards. And in that meeting where John Kilpatrick was given a word about this shift, he said in his message that night, he said, this shift is going to take place after Oral Roberts and Billy Graham pass away. So there's going to be this shift. And so what was interesting is Oral Roberts, this was in early 2009. Oral Roberts passed away in December of 2009. Well, Billy Graham just passed away, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks ago. But the day before Billy Graham passed away, I'm getting ready to do our Tuesday night radio show. And I had a completely, I was going to get on the United Nations. And the Lord said, no, you talk about the ministry of an apostle. And it was interesting because I was talking about church government and the way the New Testament spells it out. And the next morning I woke up and my wife tells me, Billy Graham died. And I remembered that prophetic word from John Kilpatrick in 2009. And so what I'm going to tell you is I believe that there's a shift in the body of Christ happening. And it's not just with us. We're not the only ones. But I believe there's kind of an awakening happening. And part of it is people are awakening. There's just a lot of people are awakening to truth of what's going on in the world. And awakening, you know, as we've talked about, awakening to the truth of biblical creation, the true nature of creation in the cosmos, not what the world has told. So there's an awakening happening. And as we've seen in any awakening, when any God begins to restore truth, Satan comes in immediately and tries to sidetrack it, pollute it, you know, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing in this whole flat earth biblical cosmology awakening, we're seeing just an invasion of insanity, new age, you know, insanity that just unlike anything I've ever seen, whether it be, and it's not just the new age deception that's entering into all this, but we've got the, you know, the extreme Hebrew roots, Torah movement, and all of that crazy stuff that's invaded and trying to invade and take over. And so I knew when God showed me this and the door opened, and I began to see, you know, some of the crazy people and the crazy stuff that was involved in all this. I thought, you know, I understand why God brought me into this, not just for me to know the truth and preach the whole truth, but I knew from the beginning that we needed to have fivefold ministers, men of God, women of God, that would stand up against this new age deception and this Hebrew roots deception and all these other deceptions and try to do things. Again, nobody's perfect, but try to do things biblically. Try to do church biblically. Do ministry biblically. Right? Not just do cosmology biblically, but let's do it all biblically. Let's try, at least try, you know, let's shoot for doing it God's way, because you know what, we've done it our way. The church world did it, you know, tried to be a democracy and that wasn't going to work. Tried to do it with big boards and big money. And you know what, that hasn't worked. That didn't save America, did it? No. Brownies and bake sales and watering it down and seeker sensitive and mega church Christianity and, you know, Billy Graham at the end. You know, I believe Billy Graham started out right. But at the end, Billy Graham was a universalist. He was a universal salvation guy. He was a heretic at the end. That's just the fact. And you look at Billy Graham Christianity. You look at all, see, and what's interesting with John Kilpatrick, when he pointed out Oral Roberts and he pointed out Billy Graham, he actually grabbed both worlds. He grabbed the evangelical Baptist, traditional Protestant world, and he grabbed the charismatic Pentecostal world, and both of those men started out right and got off into error. Both of them did. And neither of their theologies, you know, Oral Roberts got off on money and prosperity, and then Billy got off on everybody's going to be saved, or you can be saved without being conscious of knowing Jesus. He said that in 1997 on TV. I'm like, how can you be saved without being conscious of Jesus? When the Bible says we must believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, if you don't at least believe that, you got no shot at this. And so we have all this going on. But I believe what the Lord was saying when he pointed out those two men is because he's saying there's going to be a shift. There's going to be a shift from the charismatic Pentecostal foolishness from the evangelical denial of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, that we're going to make a shift away from that and be balanced. Except, hey, what? Guess what? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are still for today. Right? But we're not going to be crawling on the floor, barking like dogs and clucking like chickens. We're not going to accept that's not the Holy Ghost. Sorry, it's not him. Right, exactly. Or the Pentecostals in Kentucky and Tennessee. Not in Alabama, mind you, but they want to play with snakes. No. But you know, that's what I wrote this morning. You know what? Where's my... I'm going to pull it out. I got my phone. Yes, I did. There we go. I have to look at it here. But there it is. You know what I'm excited about? With Fire and Grace Church in Raleigh that's going to be coming. And we don't know exactly when, but in the very near future. But this is what I wrote this morning here. If I can do this. I said, you know what? This morning we're going to ordain Ted, and I hope I say it right. Neenstead, right? Neenstead. All right. I got it. So we're going to anoint Ted. I don't know why I keep having to struggle with that.
No,
I guess because I'm not German. I'm English. Right. But we're going to anoint Ted this morning to the fivefold ministry, and I am going to share some things that prophetically I believe are for you and also for you guys. But we're just really, I mean, we're going to ordain Ted to this, but God's the one that called you to this. And I believe he's been preparing you for this. And listen, what's amazing is even your mistakes in the past, even times where you thought you were being led by the Lord and you missed it, we've all done that. Those mistakes of the past have even prepared you for this. If you don't have the mistakes and the struggles of the past, you really have nothing to build off of. You really have nothing to go, you know what? I've been through a situation like this before. Didn't do it quite right. So now I know what to do. So our mistakes even prepare us. Right? But I want to tell you something, brother. You're prepared. You're prepared. There's some things God's going to do. He's going to iron out. But he's called you to this. And what's happening is a promotion. You know, I started looking at it as I was praying for you. And the Lord brought me to King Saul. Not that you're going to end bad like King Saul did. but how Saul began was so amazing because Saul was humble. And I sensed that in you, that there's a humility in your heart. And the Lord, when he picked him, the Lord said, I'm gonna give you another heart, and I'm gonna turn you into another man. And what you're about to see is a grace and ability to do things that you've never really done before. Because the Lord's anointing you for something new. And this, actually, we're going to turn, I know I told you to turn to Ephesians, but let's turn to Isaiah 43, because this is the verse I believe God gave me, particularly for you and for Donna this morning, for Noel and Sarah this morning. And really, for anybody listening, this is, I believe we're in a new season. And there are seasons in God. But Isaiah 43, while y'all turning there, I'll take a sip of water here. I sat in the sun too much yesterday. Isaiah 43. It's important for these two verses to become real in our lives every so often. And here's the verses. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. He says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. But let me tell you something that I learned from a pastor of mine many years ago. And he loved this passage. As a matter of fact, I can't claim that the first sermon I ever heard was about this passage was from him. But one of the things that he pointed out is when it says, shall you not know it? He said, there's that gives the possibility that, you know, God may be trying to move you into something new, make you step out and you know, out on the water in faith, maybe try to get you, you know, out of your comfort zone, maybe even out of your theological comfort zone. He's trying to get you to step out on the stormy waters, right? He says, but there's a possibility here. God wants to do a new thing, but he said, there's a possibility. Shall you not know it? Meaning you might could miss it. It's possible. Because we let fear, doubt, and things of the past, things maybe even doctrines or traditions of the past, we let things of the past, sins of the past, mistakes of the past, keep us from stepping forward. Maybe we failed miserably one time. We're thinking, and your people are scared to step forward again because they say, I'm just going to fail again. That's the devil talking right there. That's doubt talking right there. God's always going to come in your life at different times and seasons, and he's going to say, it's time to step out. It's time to do something you've never done before. It's time to encourage yourself, to be strong, be of good courage, and step out and do something you haven't done. Step out and do something you're terrified to do. But he says it's a possibility, and I remember when my old pastor was preaching this, I remember him saying, you know, in the wilderness, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and it said the pillar, they had the pillar, God's pillar of fire at night, and they have the pillar of the cloud by day. And he said, you know what? When that cloud picked up and moved, everybody had to move with it. And he said, you'll either move with the cloud or you'll die in the desert. And this is true every single time. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and says, look, I want you to step out and do this. And for a lot of people, that's going to be, you had plans to work go to school or be have a secular job, or maybe you've been in a job or on, and the Lord said, you know what, it's time to change. It's time to step out and do something different. I got this for you. And you're like, how am I going to pay the bills? Or how am I going to do this? Or how am I going to do that? The Lord's just like, obey me. Just trust me. Step out and do it. Sometimes it's going to be something as simple as walk across the street, knock on your neighbor's door, and tell them about Jesus. I had an old preacher, I remember, was in Israel in 1988. I was 21 years old, 22, 21. And there was this old preacher, he was in his 80s, from London, England. I'll never forget him. His wife had been an archaeologist. She had a book. I mean, he was a great guy. And I'll never forget him. He set my brother and I down. We were sharing an apartment. He had a room. We had a room in Jerusalem, and we shared the kitchen. And I remember he started wanting to do Bible studies, you know, little devotions with us. He was just a precious old guy, I'm telling you. I'll never forget what he said. He said, he told us, because we were young men, just on fire, you know, for Jesus, just wanting to do anything. I mean, we're in Israel preaching the gospel to everybody we could see. And he said, you know what? He said, the man or the woman that's faithful to preach the gospel from door to door will eventually preach it from shore to shore. And I thought, you know, how many of us are scared to walk next door and tell our neighbors about Jesus? So for some people, that's a new thing. God wants you to step out and do. Or like I did in 1987, tell all my friends that I ran around drinking and partying and doing drugs with. Go home and tell all your friends about Jesus. Man, they laughed and mocked and everything else. But let me tell you something. Didn't take long before my friends saw that Jesus was real in Dean's life and had changed his life. And now those best friends of mine are all preachers that I led to Jesus, led to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, discipled them. I had to take the heat, take the ridicule, take the pressure. I remember I fought the pastor at First Baptist Church here over one of my converts. Pretty funny when a 20-something year old can have a PhD in theology shaking because he can't answer his questions. When he wants to go grab a commentary off the shelf, I said, no, I don't want your commentary. I just want you to show me in the book. Guy starts shaking. Now, he was caught having an affair with several women at the church, so he had other problems. So, let's read it again. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, this verse is important for us men, but I'm going to tell you what, it's even more important for women. I'm going to tell you this is important. I don't think there's anything more difficult than being a pastor's wife. I think that position is far more difficult than being the pastor or the minister. And I want to tell you, you ladies, y'all are sensitive. You got intuition. But you also are relational and more emotional. And you get, when you get hurt, it can stay there for a long, long, long time. When men, a lot of times, we've already forgotten about stuff. Because, you know, you ladies can think about stuff. Y'all can think about 15, 20 things at the same time. Us men, we think about one thing at a time. Sorry, but that's the way we are. But, see, the good thing about us, even though we can only think about one thing at one time, is that we are focused on that thing when we're focused, right? We cannot hear anything or see anything else. Sometimes I have to tell my wife, it's funny, we're laying in bed at night. Neither of us talking. And I tell her, I say, You got to calm the brain down because we're one. I said, you're messing with my head. Stop. There's too much going on in there. I could feel it going on next to me. In her head. But I can tell you something about my wife. She would not have made it through these 9 years. Because we've been through some serious, difficult ups and downs. We've been betrayed. And let me tell you, in the ministry, there's always going to be Judases. Always. Start out good, come, ends bad. Always. It's going to happen. In fact, I had one church planter, pastor friend of mine years ago, that planted many, many churches. And he said, I found a rule almost. He said that the people who are, you know, initially with you in the beginning or a lot of that, he said, usually you, in what, the first year, half of them are gone. Not all, but half. And you got to deal with all those things. And you ladies, I said, the thing that got my wife through all this is my wife is quick to forgive. And I'll tell you something else too. My wife is quick to, she knows every fault of mine and struggle of mine. And yet, there's great respect and loyalty. And you will never, she will never, she'll tell you right now. If we had a fight, she said, I don't talk about it. Now, do we have them sometimes? Yeah, of course we do. Everybody, every married couple does. But you'll never hear her talking bad about me, ever. Not dare, not in the front of anybody else. Now, she'll tell me stuff. But you know what? If I ever say, you know what? I know the Lord's telling me to do this. Okay. That's what we do. And I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it without her. And I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have been the healed person I am now without her. Men need respect and women need love. Right? And that's what's going to have to be. And you guys, to do this, let me tell you, the demonic attacks have not yet begun. All right? Not like they're going to. Because I can tell you this, if there's things that need to work in there, it need to work. I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know enough about your, so I can't say. I've done no counseling with marital counseling, so I know nothing, right? But I'm just saying that those things, if, you know, I know my wife's my best friend, and I know she's with me if everybody left me. You know what I mean? So that's important. And I know she's never going to try to tear anything down that I'm trying to build. So that's very important. And I don't know why I didn't plan on that, but that's important. And that's part of this. Listen, that's part of this. And even us guys, I'm not saying us guys can't hold a grudge or unforgiveness or bitterness. Because, boy, we can too. But it's important when he says, remember you not the former things. Hurts. And ladies, forgiving, you know, us men, we make a bunch of mistakes. So y'all got a lot to forgive. I understand. But we truly, to be able to move forward, there's a point you got to put the past behind. And so that goes, that's for everybody, though. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Like I was saying, you got to let go of the past. Let's do a new thing. Let's do a new thing. And what I love, he says, now it shall spring forth. Let me just explain to you sometimes. And this is, my wife realizes this. Sometimes it seems like God is never going to do it. I mean, it seems like he tells you something. I've had God tell me stuff and didn't happen until 20 years later. 20 years. God told me Fire and Grace Church. You know what? He told me, gave me the name Fire and Grace Church and told me this in 2004 that I would plant another church. It would be called Fire and Grace Church. Didn't happen until 2009. Think about that. Things God told me in 1989, I'm seeing happen now. But every now and then, God moves quickly. And you got to be sensitive to know when he says, guess what? Don't want you to wait anymore. Now, let's go, let's go, let's do it. And you got to do it then. When God says you got to do it now, you got to do it now. Because remember, he knows why. He's saying, and he'll move quickly sometimes. That's what I tell my wife. My wife is good about this. She always says, have you prayed about that? Did you pray about that? I said, well, babe, I always pray. I said, but the other day I said, there's some things I don't have to pray about. Because if God speaks and the Spirit moves and he's saying, do it, I don't have to. You know what I'm saying? I just know. That's the thing. And I want to say this too. About true Christians. I mean, Romans 8 is very clear. The sons of God, and this calls for the daughters too, but he says the mark of the son of God or the daughter of God is that they are led by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He said the Holy Spirit will come and speak to us, show us things to come, and lead us and guide us into all truth. Let me tell you, the most important thing about any Christian is, first of all, that we stick to the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. We stick to the Word of God. But the second thing is we should be led by the Spirit of God. We should be able to know when he is moving us to step out into a new thing. I tell people all the time, there's nowhere in this Bible, I believe, that we are led by the Scriptures first and foremost, and the Scriptures judge every experience that we have, whether it be a vision or a prophetic word, or a dream, or anything. We judge it by this. But folks, there's nowhere in this book, like I've said many times, that said, Dean, go to Auburn, Alabama, and start a church. I can't find that anywhere in here, right? But because I spend time with God in prayer, fasting, studying this book, tuning my spirit to the Holy Spirit, tuning myself in, I was ready when the Holy Spirit spoke to me in Washington, D.C. in 2008 and said, the church you're in right now will fire you. Because, yes, I made the mistake to actually go to work for a church that had the wrong church government. I like this church. You didn't hire me and you can't fire me. You vote with your feet. That's it. I will not hold anyone at gunpoint. If your feet decide to vote to go, have a nice life. Right? It makes people nervous, though. Didn't hire me, can't fire me. God can, though. See, that's the thing about it. Us fivefold ministers, we get off base in error. The correction and discipline will come from, and trust me, when it comes from him, it can be very painful and sometimes very swift. led by the Spirit. And I want to say this, and I'm just going with flow. No notes this morning. I know I was going to read that, and I will in a minute. But this is what I love about Brother Ted, and into what I've learned about the story here between Ted and Noel. But see, when we went to the conference, Ted and I had been emailing, and we talked a little bit on the phone before the Flat Earth Conference in Raleigh. And the Lord didn't tell me anything at that point. Then I saw Ted there, and he's like, you know, I'd just like to sit down and talk with you for a minute. And we sat down, and we didn't even have coffee. We just kind of sat at one of the tables there in the little eating area in the hotel. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, I'm going to have Ted start a church in Raleigh, and it'll be under your church. I didn't say a word. Not a word. You know why? Because I got enough wisdom to know I don't need to plant that thought in his head. If he's led by the Spirit of God, God will tell him, and he'll tell him when it's time. So a little time goes by. Guess what? Ted says, I feel like God's speaking to me and laying it on my heart to start a church in Raleigh, and I want to be. I said, yep. I said, God told me that already. And that's the way, Christianity is supposed to work. We're supposed to hear from God and be led by God. And there were some other little things the Lord would tell me. I wouldn't tell Ted. And then later on, he would tell me. I'd be like, and that's what I said. I said, you know what? He's hearing from God. And I know he's been praying and fasting. And that's what it takes, man. That's what it takes. These ministers that don't pray, that don't fast, that don't hear from the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for one of them. They need to go do something else. They don't need to be preaching and pastoring people, that's for sure. Y'all okay with this? Y'all learning some stuff? You know, it's a spiritual thing. It really is. It's a spiritual thing when you can see this, how all this stuff works together and how God's doing. And I know God's going to move. And this is what I said, and I put this in the description, and I want to read this today because some people may not have seen it because they watch it by different ways. But I said, you know what? Today we're going to ordain Ted. And this is how we're going to work it. I prayed about this, but I feel it's the biblical way to do it. That we're to ordain you to the fivefold ministry as a pastor. Then I'm going to pray for both of you and commission you both about planting the church, but that it's you as pastor to ordain Noel and in the ministry. And of course, we honor what you do. You choose people that you're going to put in leadership. But I said, you know, what I'm excited about is in the months ahead in Raleigh, there's going to be a new church. There's going to be a new church that focuses on the biblical gospel of Jesus Christ, faith in his atoning death on the cross and his resurrection as the only way to be right with God and escape eternal damnation. So there's one thing I know, Ted is going to stand for the truth that the world hates. The world hates the fact that we say Jesus is it. There is no other way to be forgiven of sins. There is no other way to have eternal life. There is no other way to escape the eternal damnation of hell, a literal hell. There is no other way. Jesus, God in the flesh, came and died on the cross for our sins. All of our sins were put on him, but we have to believe that he died for our sins. We have to believe in our own heart, totally convinced, fully persuaded that he died for us, that he rose from the dead, that we are sinners, and that the only way we can be forgiven and saved and ready for heaven is to believe in him, ask him to forgive us, and then repent and give him our lives and become disciples. And there's going to be another church that's not going to budge, that's not going to back up, that's not going to stop preaching the central truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to be right with God, the only way to be saved, the only way to be forgiven, the only way, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the Jesus of the New Age, not the Jesus of Oprah or Deepak Chopra, but the Jesus of the Bible, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's not the Son of God. He's not what Rob Skiba says, the hand of God. What is that? He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Meaning when Jesus turns, Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So they're going to preach the real Jesus, the real gospel. There's going to be another church that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit without getting weird into the demonic counterfeits. They're going to believe in the gifts of the Spirit and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I already see it happening. There's going to be another church in Raleigh that believes in end time prophecy and that we're living in the end times. And that they're going to preach it and talk about it and talk about how current events are fulfilling the Scriptures. And what I love, there's going to be another church in Raleigh that believes God's account of creation. Not NASA's account, not the Copernican account. There's going to be another flat earth church that believes that God's earth is flat, like he said, covered by a dome, heaven is right there, and hell is under it. And if you don't like it, Copernican churches, you know where to stick it. But there's going to be another one. And you're going to be persecuted and rejected. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think, is there another pastor in town that I have any fellowship with whatsoever, even though I've tried? I don't think so. But I have three words. I don't care. I don't care. Because you know what? God didn't call me to win a popularity contest. And that's another thing. You know, one of the first things I told everybody when we came here, I told our first little group that met, we didn't come here to build a mega church. We're not here to sell brownies or take people brownies and try to make the unchurched churched. That's not what they need. The unchurched don't need church. The unchurched need Jesus, and they need to repent of sin and believe the gospel, and then they need church. And the church, and folks, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, the church, everybody says, you know what, you get on this flat earth stuff, or this biblical cosmology stuff, and the people say, oh, that's you're getting off the gospel. I got news for you. The church is not only called to try to get people saved and believe the gospel, the church is to disciple the already saved in the truth of God's word. So we have to do both. So I got to preach as a pastor, discipling people. And not just here, but now discipling people all over the world. I have got to preach on all the Bible. I can't afford to edit it. I've got to just teach and preach on all these different subjects. And that's what you have to do. You have to give the whole counsel of God's word. Everything. Now, I remember my dad, when we were going to the Baptist church, my dad got saved. I got saved. My brother got saved. Powerful, powerfully born again, touched by God. Jesus invaded our lives in that Baptist church. But my dad, who's sitting with us today, made the mistake of continuing to read the Bible beyond the Gospels and read the book of Acts. And went, hey, what's this? What's this being baptized in the Holy Spirit? What's this gift of tongues? What is this? What is this? And my dad literally took his Bible to the pastor and said, what is this? And you know what the pastor told him? We don't talk about that part. I was like, but that right there, he was a baby Christian. That right there hurt my dad because he's a baby Christian on fire for God saying, you know, the pastor told me to believe the Bible. Well, I'm reading it. And I'm trying to believe it. I'm trying to figure it out. We don't talk about that part. And that caused my dad to stumble. Follow as a baby Christian. No, we don't get to edit it, brother. We don't get to say, you know what, I'm going to leave this part out right here because I don't like it. Listen, in 2009, when I started preaching, especially 2009-10, when I started preaching hard on Bible prophecy and end time prophecy, do you know I got the most flack from Christians saying you shouldn't be preaching on that? You know, that's not important. You know, that's just, it's controversial or it's divisive. I'm saying, well, then why did God spend so much time putting it in here? Why? I guess he was confused. It's funny, though, because a lot of those Christians that were saying that back then, the stuff that's transpired in the world in the last 8-9 years, their eyes have been opened. And, of course, some of them, there's just no hope. But anyway, they're too blind to the blind. The blind leading the blind. People so proud. People can't turn loose of whether it be a denomination or whatever. That's what I love. See, I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad he told you that. At least we found out the truth. It was time. We had to move on. If we were going to keep growing, we had to move on. Somebody said, I'll be a Baptist for life. Well, what if God says, no, I don't want you to be? I'm going to sit in the boat. Sit in the boat. Remember one of my old preachers used to say, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rider. You know that whole story about Peter walking on the water? It was all about, will you step out? Will you believe that I'm a supernatural God still? Will you step out into things that your peers won't even step out in? You know, I mean, I've had a lot of criticism. I still get it from the evangelical, I will say the non-Pentecostal, the anti-charismatic world. I get criticism just for believing tongues, the gift of tongues is supernatural, and it's still for today. I get flack from that one. I'm like, I don't know how you ignore that in the book, but I get flack from these people, and I'm just like, well, I guess it's just time to move on. All you can do is give the truth. And that's what I'm saying. You give the truth, the whole truth. I could stand up here all day and I could get testimony after testimony. People that are getting saved for the first time. People that are coming out of deception. Christians that are coming out of deception and going, you know what? I was lukewarm. I was living in sin. I believe this or I believe that. But now my eyes are open. I know I can't be a drug addict or a drunkard or a fornicator, an adulterer. I can't live a lifestyle like that and say I'm a Christian and think I'm going to heaven. I mean, there's people waking up. And that's another thing that I'm excited about, because I know you're going to stand for the truth of God's word. I could talk about this all day, but you know, the Bible is clear. I mean, I could go through the scriptures on evangelists, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, Ephesians 4. You know, and I remember, and I shared this over the last few weeks, you know, Acts 13, when Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, is at Antioch, and the elders and leaders go, you know, they were just being faithful. They were prophets and teachers, just being faithful. And God speaks to the leaders and says, you know what, separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. What was he saying to them? They were already men of God. They were already called by God. Got something new. It's a new thing time. New thing to do. I believe a lot of people, I believe a lot of people within the sound of my voice in here, out there, young and old, and in between, everywhere in between, that God, you thought, a lot of people thought, you know, when I was young, I thought there was a call of God in my life, but I just, life took over. I kind of pushed that to the side. And the Lord's going to say, now it's time. Some of you young people, he's already telling you, I got something for you to do. Will you do it? So I remember when God came to me, I was 19 years old, and he came and he said, will you give me your life. Truly surrender it. I had my own plans. Even after I gave my life to the Lord, I still had my plan. I was going to go back and finish college. I was going to go back and play football. I was going to go back and do all that. And the Lord was like, will you surrender not just the bad? Because, see, I'd repented of the sin. But will you surrender your own plans to do what I want you to do? I'll never forget it. It was like Jesus was standing in the room. I had my eyes closed, tears running down my face. I could feel the presence of God on me. Will you do what I've called you to do instead of what you want to do? I'll never forget that day. I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I don't care what it is, I'll do it. And it's amazing because I went into a meeting with a New Testament apostle and prophet named Gene May. And I'm sitting near the back, probably about 200 people there. And the Lord tells me he's about to call you out and give you a word. You're next. The next thing I know, he walks by me, headed to the back, turns around, puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says these words. He said, the Lord says for me to tell you, I see you there kneeling before God, saying, Lord, here's my life. It's yours. It's all yours. Whatever you want to do. And then he proceeded to tell me things about the ministry. And then I remember I went to a second meeting about 2 years later. And you know what I'm doing in all that time? I wasn't standing in pulpits preaching. Wasn't a pastor. I was praying, fasting, studying the Bible every day, every day, every day, every day. 2 years later, I think, I'm ready. It's time to go. Time to do it. Now, I'm preaching on the street. I'm witnessing to my friends. People getting saved. People getting healed. I'm seeing Jesus do wonderful things. And I'm like, I know God's called me to be in the fivefold ministry. And he's called me to be a pastor. And I remember Gene, God speaking to that. He was truly a New Testament apostle and prophet. And he speaks and he says, well, this is not a day of release for you. This is a day of preparation. There's a time of preparation. There's a day of release. But you got to be with God to figure out which one you're in. Right? I tell people all the time, I said, you know, the foundation that I laid with God in those early days, I still depend upon to this day. Things I studied, things I learned, my experiences with him, the entire house is built upon that early foundation. So, for some of you in here today, maybe all of you, maybe and those of you watching, you say, well, Pastor Dean, I hadn't heard the Lord tell me any new thing to do. Well, maybe because you're not listening. My old pastor said, and I'm bringing him up a lot today, but I remember my old pastor said, you know, hearing has to do with proximity. Sometimes somebody can be talking, but if you're too far away, you can't hear them even though they're talking. But if you get up close enough to them, you'll hear them talking. And for most of us, the reason we're not hearing God, if we're not, is because we've gotten too much distance between us. But if you start praying and fasting and seeking him and spending time with him and building, and you start drawing near, you start getting close enough to start hearing again. And then, you know what? You can even get to the place, yeah, you will hear words from God. I hear them, not like you hear me, but I hear him when he speaks to me. It's on the inside. I mean, he overrides my thoughts and everything. I mean, I hear him clear. But there's another level, Psalm 32, where he says he will lead us by his eye, meaning if we're close enough to him, and we've developed a strong enough relationship with Jesus, there's a point where you don't even have to hear him speak. Just like a husband and wife that are close and been married for years, a lot of times you do not even have to speak. because you can look at their eyes, you can look at their expression, you know exactly what they're saying, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And the Lord's like, this is what I really want. I want you to just be with me where you just know. You know my heart. You know my will. You know what I want you to do in each day because you're close to me. There is nothing more important than that. God said it, James 4:8. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. You want to hear God's voice? You want the supernatural? You're going to have to be able to hear. And you have to draw close. All right, I'm going to stop. Tell you what, we had a good day. We had a good weekend, didn't we, guys? We did have a good weekend. This is what we're going to do. I want us to stand for just a moment, and I want to do that short song. We're going to sing with that song because I believe the Lord was saying it, but that song, that Zach Williams song, the revival song. And then I'm going to call Ted and Donna up and pray with them, and then I'm going to call you guys up together and pray for you guys. And you're going to see things change. God's going to do some powerful things. People will be saved. People will be healed. People will be strengthened. Prodigals that have fallen away for years will come back. And Christians will be established in the truth. And isn't that what the ministry is about? Isn't that it? Let's stand. Let's do this song, and then we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Your strength has found me at my weakest. Your grace poured out in my despair. When I feel lifeless, tired, burned out and defeated, your perfect love will find me there. You called my name and you made me now. I found revival in you. You gave me life, 'cause that's what you do. Oh, I was dead. Look at me now. I found revival in you. While dreams are breathed into existence, my broken heart begins to be. There's no more fear in down my bitter disappointment. Came my greatest victory. Oh, you called my name. You made all things new. Oh, I was dead. Look at me now. I found revival in you. And you gave me life, 'cause that's what you do. Oh, I was dead, but look at me now. I found revival in you. It's all because of you. All because of you. I am alive in Jesus. I am alive, and it's all because of you. Oh, it's all because of you. I am alive in Jesus. I am alive, and you call my name. And you made all things new. Oh, I was dead, but look at me now.
Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Truly, God, you quickened us, made us alive when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And there's nothing like when your Holy Spirit comes in and revives us again. I believe, Lord, we're in the beginning stages of a revival. As the world gets darker and darker, you promised us in Isaiah 60 that as darkness covered the earth and gross darkness, the people, that you would arise upon your people and that your glory would be seen on your people. Lord, that's happening. The light, the glory, the anointing is going to increase upon your people that believe your Bible, believe your word, God, that are willing to surrender, turn from sin, and truly make Jesus Lord of their lives. God, I thank you for Ted and Donna. I thank you for Noel and Sarah and what you're doing in their lives. Ted and Donna, would you come forward, please? And y'all can be seated if you want to. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible talks about the ministry of the laying on of hands. The ministry of the laying on of hands, if y'all come around over here. The ministry of laying on of hands is for several reasons. Number one, of course, the Bible shows that he said believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's one. He said, you know, that we could, that, and what we're doing today, laying hands upon for ordination to the ministry and impartation of that gift and that that blessing. And so, and of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's the ministry of laying on hands. You could teach and preach on that for, you know, several Sundays, but I absolutely know, as a man of God, that God has called you, and I know, and then something real strong the Lord wants me to tell you, and it's been on me for days, and that is that he wants you to know that you do have what it takes to do this.
Well, through him.
Yes, but you have, he's given it to you. He's given it to you, and you have it. And I want to pray for both of you. And I know this is a big step for you. But you know what? Ask my wife. Would you go back and undo any of this? Nope. You know why? Because God has honored, and God has blessed, and God has touched lives and changed lives. And brought us through some really dark times. So there are difficulties in ministry, but there's also blessings in it when you're being obedient and faithful. And I can just say this to you again, like I said, I know nothing. Ted does not discuss, he hadn't discussed marriage or anything, but I can tell you something. You got a humble man, not a perfect man, but you got a humble man. And I can tell you, he's hearing God, and I want you to know, he's stepping into a new season. You're going to see, they're going to look at me and go, is that the guy in marriage? He's doing some stuff I've never seen. You know, just, you're going to see some boldness and some courage to do some things. And you're going to be proud of him. You're going to be proud. I'm not saying you're not now, but I'm saying you're going to be proud of what God does. And I'm going to tell you about this. Be careful not to put too much on her. Mm. Sometimes as a man, you draw the line and say, you're not doing this. It's too much. And so it's a balance. But let me pray for you guys. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Ted and Donna. And I thank you, Lord, they love you more than anything. They love each other. God weathered a lot of storms, raised five boys, amazing parents. Lord, I ask you to bless them right now. Just bless them as a married couple. Lord, as parents, but Lord, also, Lord, as ministers of the gospel.
Yes.
Because, Lord, this calling and this step, this new step and this new thing for Ted is not just for Ted, it's for Donna as well.
Amen.
And, Lord, I just lay hands upon them and I bless them and I ask you, Lord, to right now impart the strength, the peace, yes, the faith, yes, the power of the Holy Ghost,
yes,
the knowing in their spirit that they can do this, that you will be with them, you will bless them, and you will give them the power and strength and grace they need to be pastors, yes, in the kingdom of God. Father, I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, as I lay hands upon them, God, as an apostle and prophet and pastor in the kingdom of God, I lay hands upon them now in Jesus' name. Lord, and I ordain them to the ministry, to the fivefold ministry, to the pastoral ministry and the teaching ministry. I ordain them and bless them, Lord, not me calling them, but recognizing your calling. And being there, Lord, as an encourager, as a counselor, and as a strength for them, so that they don't have to feel alone. And so, Lord, I lay hands upon them, and I pray in Jesus' name that boldness, Lord, the teaching anointing will fill the preaching anointing. That's something else. I feel like there's a difference between the teaching anointing and the preaching anointing.
Yes.
And I believe the teaching anointing's already been on you, but that's going to increase. And there's going to come a new preaching anointing. And also the gift of prophecy flowing and working through you as you minister to people. Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. And today, Lord, we ordain them as pastors of Fire and Grace Church and Raleigh, North Carolina, and I ask you to just use them as a bright light, a city on a hill in that area. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to invite Noel and Sarah up. Y'all come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Why don't y'all just line across here? That'll be good there. We're going to make some arrangements for our baptismal. We baptized 7 people last week, so we haven't taken it down. And we have one next week. and y'all come up this way. Come in here where I can, because I want to pray for all of you. Because this is also, you know, in Acts 13 when he said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to do." And I know that God put Ted on your heart and Ted put you on his heart. And so this is something special. He's kind of like, just like he did with Barnabas and Saul. And then later with Paul and Silas, he sends us out 2 by 2. So it's interesting that he found the other, to make it the 2 and really the 4, but well, you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so, I want to pray for you guys before we get out of here. All right, let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord, to just bless Noel and Sarah, Lord. I thank you for them. Lord, I lay hands on them as a pastor and minister of the gospel, a fivefold minister. And I just lay hands on them, and Lord, with Ted and Donna to commission them with them to plant this church in Raleigh, North Carolina, to God, that you'll just give them the grace, the anointing, the power, the strength, the wisdom that's going to be needed to navigate this new area, this new season. Lord, to navigate the difficulties, to navigate, Lord, just the logistics and to navigate the people that will come, some good, some bad, and that there'll be great wisdom and discernment and that they can truly be leaders with humble hearts, but be strong. And so, Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the opportunity of getting to know them better. And I ask you, Lord, to use them mightily with Ted and Donna to truly, truly make a great impact in the Raleigh area of North Carolina. We pray that in Jesus' name. Yeah, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, blessings to you guys. I'm praying for, I'm telling you, God's going to give you the strength. And you're going to say, I didn't know why he kept saying that. But you're going to find out. Because, listen, you will be betrayed. And you will be ridiculed. You will be reproached. You'll have people you start to love, and in your come in your church, and then they'll leave you. And you just you gotta, you know, you're gonna say, I gotta be strong, I gotta be tough, and I gotta deal with that, you know, and not let it eat away at you, you know, because some people can let it eat at them. But there's also going to be people just like we have that came and were messed up. I remember Cherie. She didn't know the baby. I remember Cherie. She's been with us since the beginning. She said, we didn't know how messed up we were until he came. But you know what? I've watched her and others that came, you know, when we first started, and they have grown in their walk with God, and just their lives transformed. I mean, you think about what it was 10 years ago. They're not that way now. So you're going to see that too. Amen? All right. You guys can be seated. Let's stand and we'll dismiss this morning. Appreciate all of you being with us today. What a blessing. I mean, last week we had people that traveled from Pensacola, Florida, and North Georgia, and it just is blowing my mind, you know, and you guys visiting from Mobile and all over. It's just great to have you guys. But and those watching and listening, God's doing some stuff, and he's got some powerful things he's going to do. And, you know, it looks like, you know, we have another church that we're going to be helping a brother with just outside of Denver in the very near future. And then had another brother that we're talking about right outside of London, England as well. So I think there's going to be God's going to be doing some new things in a lot of people's lives, and that's good. So you know, I know there's people that don't believe in tithes and offerings, but we still do. So if you have one, you just drop it in the basket back there. That's all we do. I don't think I've ever done a message on tithes and offerings ever in my life. I just say, hey, you know, obey God. I don't care whatever. Just obey God. All right. Let's, Ted, would you dismiss us today and pray?
Father God, thank you. Thank you for this for this service, for this homeless service, Lord. It's such a powerful thing for Donna and I. And thank you for Pastor Dean, Lord. And thank you that you love people. Let this be perhaps an example for others, Lord, that if you seek him and you're willing, he will work in your lives and he will connect you with others that will come beside you and that will help you. And we need other churches like this, like Fire and Grace Church and other places. And if you want to help, reach out to me, Pastor Dean, and we're here to help. Thank you, Lord, and help us to, Lord, I promise I will not let you down, and I will not let Pastor Dean down, and we will run the race, we will fight the good fight, and now is the time to move on, and just thank you, Lord, just thank you for the call, which I never thought that I would be saying such words that I don't have any doubt that that's from you, Lord. And I hope no one thinks that's a prideful thing. It's just that we have no doubt. And we're moving ahead. And we ask for prayers for everybody, from everybody here and listening, wherever you're listening from. And thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Well, as we always end, hug some necks before you leave. All right.